Tonight, you see, open your Bibles again at the book we read in Jonah, and we will be looking at this chapter 1, at all of this chapter. Pray the Lord would bless it to our hearts, and that we will be encouraged and strengthened, and even as God's word goes forth in this meeting house and in other places around the world, we pray that the Lord would bless it. And if there's any listening in, not seeing it, it's our prayer and desire that the Lord would come down in mercy and save some precious soul even today. We're going to just have a wee trip now to the Mediterranean Sea. I was never on the Mediterranean Sea, but maybe some of you here have been there. But I can just picture it as a lovely ocean, lovely blue sea. And we can just see, in, as we read this first chapter, I will see a boat in the midst of the sea. Everything is going so well. Everything is perfect. Probably the sails were up. The men were working. But we'll try and get a wee bit closer now and look inside the ship and see what was all in it. The first one that we see was the shipmaster. Very important. And he was there, and he was given directions of what to do. And of course, not only do you need a shipmaster, but you need a crew. And they all had their important work to do. And I'm sure the crew of that ship were brave, big, tough men, because whenever a sailor, and especially in storms, you have to know what you're doing. And anybody that is interested in sailing, I'm sure, would understand that. But here we have also, in that ship, a man, a prophet of God. And he was there. And why was he there? Well, we read in the first three verses of this chapter, and we'll see why he was there. Because he disobeyed God. Because of disobedience. That's why he was there. Remember, as we read it there earlier on, we see that God spoke to him. He was a prophet. Now, God used him as a prophet before, we see in 2 Kings. And in 2 Kings we have Jonah and how he prophesied successfully. And now God has spoken to him again, and his work was to go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach against it. In 40 days it would be destroyed. Now, just to look at it quickly, you would have thought that would have been quite easy to do. But for Jonah it was difficult. And for all those people in that city, and to preach against it, it would be difficult. And what did he do? He said no to God. And he went on a ship to Tarshish. This is where this ship is heading for. It's just come from Joppa. And there this man who was disobedient to God, there he was making himself comfortable in the side of the ship. What else was there on the ship? Well, there was cargo. And I'm sure that was the important part on the crew and the shipmaster's thought. because this cargo bringing them from one area to another area would be making them money. And that's how they lived. They had to work to live. But as they were just sailing along, something strange happened. And this brings us to our second point. First one was, we see the ship in the sea. Now we see the situation they find themselves in. The situation. God sent a mighty storm upon that sea. And instead of it being nice and calm, it was a storm that even those crew members and the shipmaster knew it just wasn't a normal storm. God has sent it. And there they were. What a situation they were in. The ship was about to be broken. About to be broken. The mariners were afraid. Really afraid. So difficult it was. And you know, that's just like in the sea of life we are in. And we can have the situations that we find ourselves in. And the situation that we find ourselves in is that we're sinners. Just as simple as that. We're sinners. And whether we like it or whether we do not like it, the Bible tells us that we're born in sin and shapen in iniquity. This is the situation we find ourselves in. And if there's anyone listening in, and this is the way you are, you're still not saved. This is your situation. What a way it was to find ourselves in before we as Christians were saved. We thought everything was so nice and rosy. We didn't realize that we were lost until the Lord opened our eyes and showed us. And here we have, even in our lives today, even for the Christian, we can find ourselves in situations. So easy. Sometimes we can get away from God. We forget ourselves. And then whenever something happens, just like this storm here in the boat, and how then we start thinking, oh, maybe it was problems. We all have problems. We all have trials. And you know, when that storm comes, it can be very difficult even for us Christians. Then not only do we see the ship in the sea and the situation they find themselves in, but we see the shipmaster's concern. And you just think about this shipmaster for a moment. He had a concern for his crew. And every shipmaster, that is what he thinks about most of all. His crew comes first. Matter about anything else. Matter about the cargo that he has. He thinks about the ones who are in the boat. And here we have shipmaster saying, take all the cargo. Throw it overboard. He wasn't concerned about the cargo. He was concerned about the crew. Oh, what a great shipmaster we have in heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ. And there is he looking down even upon us. He knows all about us. And he can see the sin in the world. He can see all these sins, and what a concern that he has for the sinner. God the Father had so concern for the sinner, even before the foundation of the world, God has sent His only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into this world. That was our shipmaster's concern. That's God's concern. He loves the sinner. He loves those who are not saved. And even God's people, and we should have this concern too. And even those of us who are in charge of work and ministry and missionary work and church service, it should be our desire for the lost parish and souls of men and women and boys and girls. We should be concerned about the lost. We should have a burden for the lost parish and souls. Oh, how we ought to be thinking about it. Oh, the shipmaster's concern. But then we also see in this, in verse 6, we have the sleeping of God's prophet. Sleeping of God's prophet. There was Jonah. He had no concern. He was quite happy. He was contented there on the side of the boat, sleeping. And then, all of a sudden, the shipmaster comes and wakens him up. Thou sleeper, waken up, call upon thy God. Because this is what the shipmaster said to them. Call upon your God. And everybody pray. And there Jonah was, as he woke up out of that sleep. And even sure when he looked and saw the big waves all around the boat, we wakened up all right. He saw the danger of it all. He was asleep. And it's the same for the sinner. Those in sin. Whenever God speaks through the Word of God, even the preaching of it in a meeting house, the listening of it in the open air meeting, or even taking a gospel tract and reading it, or maybe the person-to-person talk with a Christian friend. Oh, how the sinner needs to waken up. In my tract work at home, and many times, I remember one of the football matches, and this policeman came, and he was well known among the other policemen, and he would never take a gospel tract of anyone. And the other policemen told me this, so he was standing at the other side of the road, so I thought I would go and give him just a gospel tract. Did I give that gospel tract to that policeman? He says, you know, I don't take gospel tracts. But he says, I know all them other policemen are watching us now. And I want to take one from you. And he took a gospel tract from me. Then I could hear all the rest of the policemen. It was at Glentoran, Glenavon match. And there was a big crowd out. And I could hear the cheers of the policemen. They were waiting for the crowds to come. And he took a tract off me. Funny enough, 3 years later, I was given the tracts out at the same Glentoran match. It was at night, it was dark outside. Well, I give the tracts to the people going in. And this policeman came up to me and he says, do you remember me? I said, no. And he said, do you remember that policeman you give a gospel tract to? I was just standing across the road. He said, yes. He says, I'm saved now. I'm preaching God's word. So it's always important. A gospel tract can awaken the sinner. When the Holy Ghost moves mightily upon them, eyes are opened. How powerful the word of God is. And then we see the steps they took to find the cause of the storm. The steps they took. What were they going to do in this storm? We have to do something. We just cannot give in. And of course they cast lots. And they cast a lot, and it fell upon Jonah, as we read in verse 7. And there Jonah had received the lot, and they asked him, "Who caused this mighty storm? Where do you come from? What country? Who is your people?" They interrogated them. And there was Jonah. And of course Jonah told them why. How he disobeyed God. By one man's sin, those people were in danger. And what a picture that is of Adam in the Garden of Eden. Because of one man's disobedience, all of us are sinners. Every one of us. And the steps that we have to take is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that He shed His precious blood on the cross in Calvary for our sins. We have to believe. And the same for God's people, even here tonight. We have to believe that God can do a mighty work in this town. That God can do wonderful things in a moment of time. He can fill this meeting house to capacity. What are the steps that we must take? We must keep on believing. We must keep on working. We keep on encouraging others to come to the meeting house to hear God's word. We're all part of this work of God. And how we need to be up and doing while it is day, because the night's coming very quickly in. And then also we see the self-condemnation of Jonah. The self-condemnation of Jonah. Now as Jonah told everything that happened, you know, he was truthful. He didn't tell the story. He became humble. And you know, I love Jonah. I always have to read through this book. And you could take your days reading through this book. There's so much in it. But there's always something special about this man. And he became humble here in the boat. And how he came to self-condemnation. It was my fault. It was my fault. This is what the sinner has to come before God. I am a sinner. I'm born in sin and shaped in iniquity. We must take the place, the humble place of a sinner. Christian, when we look back and see whenever we got bowed our heads before God, we confessed that we were only a sinner. We were lost. We were perishing. You know, you cannot be saved unless you believe that you are a sinner. And I know many people, and this is a great stumbling block. They think because they give so much money to charity, because they live a good life, because they go to church, because they don't curse or gamble or drink, they think that's all right. They just cannot see themselves as a sinner. So first step, we must realize who we really are. We're sinners because of one man's disobedience. And then we also see the solution to the situation. Oh yes, there was a solution to it. Jonah said to them, "You want this storm to cease? You have to take me up lift me up and throw me into the sea. Sounds simple. But it was difficult even for those mariners. And it's the same for the unsaved. The solution to God, to your sin, is coming and repenting of it. That's the solution, repenting of your sin. Except there be repentings of your sin. There needs to be that if we want to be saved. If we want to go to heaven. Or if you just want to continue to go to that place of a lost eternity, you just go on doing what you're doing. But repentance is a solution. You want to be saved, if you want to be born again of the Spirit of God, you must repent of your sin. When I think back in the day and hour, I repented of my sin. You know, I never thought of it. The Holy Spirit opened my eyes so quickly. I just didn't understand what was happening. I didn't understand. The Lord just opened my eyes, and I never thought of anything else. Only repenting of my sin. And I'm sure you can say the same. Oh, we have that great solution. And then we also see in verse 15, we have the sacrifice that was given. The sacrifice that was given. Well, the mariners tried to row the land, but they couldn't do it. Couldn't do it. And the same with God's salvation, we try ourselves, but we can't do it. It's because there had to be a sacrifice. They had to take Jonah and throw him overboard. And there, as they took him, they lifted him up and they cast him into the sea. What a great picture that is of the Lord Jesus Christ. See how the Lord was lifted up. Remember how he was nailed to the cross. And how they took the cross and lifted it up under heaven and above earth. And put the cross in the socket in the ground. Oh yes, that great once and for all sacrifice for sin. The Lord Jesus Christ suffered more than any man on that cross. What pain he had of her. Just think of the pain there was whenever that cross went into the socket in the ground. And the body of Christ and the nails. There was love that kept him on the cross. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he didn't. A sacrifice had to be given. Just the same as we have this picture of it in Jonah. For the sea to stop its raging, Jonah had to be put overboard. Oh, how we see then our next point, which is the sea ceased from a raging. The sea ceased from a raging. Whenever he hit the water, storm left. And what a great testimony that was to the mariners. They could see the true God. They could see the power of God in it. And even for the sinner, when we see the power of God and that sacrifice on the cross on Calvary, we have it in our scriptures. Even the centurion said, truly, truly this was a man of God. And how we have, right through as we read in the New Testament about Christ. Oh, how wonderful that sacrifice was. And you know, whenever we put our trust in Christ, and here we come and repent of our sin and forsake our sin. You know, there's a can. Because Christ gives us that peace. And what great peace there is in God's wonderful salvation. Oh, peace. Our sins are forgiven. We are now in the family of God. We now have His benefits. We're now on that narrow way that leads to heaven and to home. And then we see the souls that were saved. The mariners feared, they believed in God, and they offered sacrifice and they vowed vows. Oh, they believed in God. And it's the same for the sinner when they come to Christ. Oh, they come and they vow vows to God. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. And how wonderful that is. God takes us into His family. Oh, what a tremendous it is to see those souls saved. And this is our prayer and desire for this area, to see souls saved. But we must tell them of that great and once and for all sacrifice for sin. And then we also see, in closing, point number 11, we see the safety of Jonah. The safety of Jonah. Well, we can't forget about Jonah. There as he hit that water, God had prepared a great fish. That great fish just came and swallowed Jonah. And as we look in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 40, and how it says about Jonah, for as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Here we have Jonah as a type of Christ. We have seen it. And there as he was in the grave 3 days and 3 nights. And then the big fish went on to land and vomited out Jonah. And how wonderful that was. You know, when you think of that, Jonah was in that fish's belly for 3 days and 3 nights. And as he came out of it, he was exactly the same as he went in. And the same with Christ. When he went into the grave, his body went to the grave. But there's no condemnation came into the body of Christ. Body of Christ did not see corruption. And what a great picture that is of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. And just let me just say in closing, if you're not saved, listening in, it's our prayer and desire that this will be a night that the Lord would speak in this gospel service, that you will realize that you're a sinner, that you will come and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that you will take your place as a sinner and ask the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart, and He will save you, and then you will be on that narrow way that leads to heaven and to home. And let me just say for Christians, sometimes we can be in the midst of the storm. We can have a difficulty and hard. But let us look to our shipmaster. Let us look to the God in heaven. And He will lead us. He will guide us. He knows what's good for us. We all have to come through difficult times. And even for those that are backslidden in heart, the Lord puts a storm in your life to bring you back to Himself. I do pray that the Lord will bless these remarks from Jonah chapter 1. In Jesus' name we ask it.